Today on Real Life Radio.
If you and I believe that and begin to live our lives one among another, we will be able to have grace for one another because we will understand that if we're going to live this life, it's going to take the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the grace among us as believers.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called Do It Yourself. You know, the book of Luke is a book that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say? You see, when we talk about building our lives, there's a danger of doing it yourself. Over time, what our house is built upon will come to light. Building a foundation on God may take time, but nothing will stand against it when it's built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus invites us to come to Him, to listen carefully to what He has to say so that we're not easily swayed by the world. Whoever calls Jesus Lord needs to back it up with their lives. Now, in a message called Do It Yourself, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Would you grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we are in verses 46 to 49. And the title of the message this morning is Do It Yourself. Do it yourself. You normally hear that in the context of Home Depot or Lowe's, the do-it-yourself centers. But is it me or is it true that every time I turn on the TV, there seems to be a 24/7 stream of televised programs telling me that my house needs remodeling? My house needs help. I found out just in 20 minutes of watching TV, I found out that my house needs new siding. I need to have a complete makeover of my home. And I just found out this week that I can never be really happy until my house gets a brand new paint job, a new driveway. I need copper gutters. Did you know that? You need copper gutters. I didn't know that. And if I don't watch out, my lawn could turn yellow with this year's heat wave. So I need Bandini on my lawn like never before. All this stuff pushing and pumping about how you and I can go to the do-it-yourself center and apply it to our homes and make it a beautiful house. Now, I can tell you honestly that with a while back when all the interest rates dropped and all that stuff, Lisa and I, we bought our home in Chino Hills for a little over $90,000 back in 1849. But we actually entertained, at least I did, and I don't know where Lisa was on this, but we were looking at moving because we could really, boy, there's a lot of equity in the house. We could really move up, you know, and get a big house and a big yard and all this stuff. And I looked around and I didn't like it. I didn't like what I was seeing. I didn't like what the money was buying us. And so we wound up staying where we're at, but wound up fixing things up. And it's funny. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? If you begin to fix something up, if you put in a new something, then it snowballs into two or three other projects. When you can't have that, we got to have new windows. And then the new windows come in. Well, you can't have new windows without having a new roof. And then you got to, and all this stuff to make your home better, at least supposed to be better, and to make it look better. And it is a very, very big deal. And in fact, it is a $150 billion a year industry. That is the personal or private home improvement companies. $150 billion last year is estimated that they made in you and I fixing up our homes. But have you ever seen a program? I haven't. Have you ever seen a program that spends all of that energy and all of that input on your foundation or things that will never be seen by those that are driving by your house? Do you see commercials daily about the foundation of your home? Never do you see, you need to replace your foundation. Is your foundation cracked? Is your house falling down the hill? You know, you need to buy, you know, Acme foundation or something. I don't see that. It's all about paint. It's all about shutters. It's all about looks. But what about the foundation? Jesus is going to be speaking to us this morning about the foundation. What about the foundation of our homes, our lives? What's it all about? What is God trying to tell us? And what is Jesus speaking about when we are looking at what has been entitled the Great Sermon? That is Jesus' teaching and preaching about how life ought to be lived. And He knows. He is the giver of life. The Bible is the manual on life. And God tells us this is how it should be for our happiness, for our peace, for our wonderful success in God. So if you have your Bible open, Luke chapter 6, beginning at 46, let's read it together. He said, Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Church, jot it down if you would. Do it yourself. Point number one of lesson that we learn out of this. What is Jesus teaching us? Verses 46 to 47, it is this. Who's going to be in control of it? Who's going to be in control of what? The building of the house. When we talk about doing it yourself, we take a lot of pride in that. Oh, I'm going to do it myself. Well, who's going to do it? When we talk about building our lives, who's going to do it? And you and I, as humans, we kind of grab the bull by the horns and we say, I'm going to do it. I can do it. Honey, it's okay. I got it from here. I'll do it. We're built like that. And that's okay to a certain degree. But notice with me in this first point, who's going to be in control of the remodeling or the construction of your house? Number one, jot it down. The danger of doing it yourself is this. There will be a power issue about who leads. Who is going to be leading? Who's going to be leading in our home? Who's going to be leading in our spiritual lives? And by the way, let me say this. You can take a deep breath, Mr. and Mrs., and relax. I'm not talking about marriage per se. I'm not going to be telling you, ma'am, that it's the husband and he's to lead and you're to, not in this study, not now. I'm talking about Jesus Christ being the leader of what God does in building our lives. It is vitally important. There will be, though, a power issue about who leads. Jesus is teaching us, and this is what he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" This is an important thing, and I hope that you highlight this. When he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord," the statement here, "Why do you call me?" When he says call, this is a very, very strong word. He is stressing to us that whoever is saying this, listen carefully, whoever is saying this is somebody who truly believes that they have a relationship with God, in this case, Jesus Christ. They really believe. How do we know that? Because the word in the Greek that Jesus uses to call, they are calling with all excitement, passion, and devotion the way they see it. It's the way they perceive it. That's why Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" You're calling upon me, but your definition of Lord, Lord is different than what is required. So this is a very soul-searching question that Jesus is putting forth. It's extremely important, and listen, and it is unsettling if we're not careful. And so I want you to be careful and to be careful listeners this morning. Whenever Jesus says anything, we had better listen, but when Jesus repeats it, we better listen very well. What does he say twice here? Lord, Lord. The ancient Greeks believed that, listen, logos, pathos, and ethos, those Greek words, made up the very life of who you were. They made up the very existence of who you were. Logos is the Greek word for the word. Pathos is your passion. And ethos is your lifestyle. The ancient Greeks believed, and Jesus, living in that culture of the Roman, the Greek Roman Empire, he taught that because people understood it. He said, hey, listen, your words that you say against reality, they should match. If they match, it will be the passion of your life. And whatever the passion of your life is, will be your ethos, your lifestyle. The word that you believe, the doctrine, the teaching, whatever you believe, that will be your passion. For example, right now, the NASCAR group is all over here in, what is that place called? The California Speedway Raceway, and they're all there. In fact, last week I was driving across the desert, and I went right by. I passed Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s car on the truck. It was pretty exciting, and So, you know, where were they? They're all coming to California to do the big race. And there's going to be, 200,000 people out there who have made a very, very passionate commitment. It is their lifestyle of living because they caught the word, and that word is NASCAR. That's what they live for. And they're very excited about that. You say, well, they're race enthusiasts. Yes, they are. And that's fine. And I'm that way too. I love that kind of stuff, but that's great. But listen, there should be something that trumps all of that in your life, Jesus is saying. If you're going to call him Lord, Lord, if you're going to believe in God, then Jesus needs to be on the top list of all that you have in your life. Lord, Lord, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Jesus is asking, what are you saying that for? Does your ethos, lifestyle, show enough evidence of your passions? What are your passions? Is it the word? This is what he is challenging the audience. Now, in your mind's eye, church, keep this before you. Jesus is speaking on the shores of Galilee. The disciples are directly in front of him. Behind him were those who were the followers. So you've got the apostles, the disciples. You've got the followers, which could be called disciples. They're kind of listening in. And then beyond that crowd is a greater crowd. And of course, as we've mentioned, sprinkled in there among them is the scribes and the Pharisees. So Jesus is laying a tremendous challenge down before them. This word or words, Lord, Lord, twice in the Greek, declare that they are making an affirmation. He is my Lord. That's their word. Now listen, Matthew chapter 7. Listen how Matthew records the same teaching. Matthew 7 verse 20. Hang on to your seats. Jesus said, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We looked at that last week. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, concerning Jesus goes to heaven. Who does then? But he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, that is the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful miracles in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice sin. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him as a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, what they said, and even what they did by the power of God, didn't match up about the reality of their lives. You know, church, are you guys with me? Do you hear what I just said? There's going to be a lot of shock and awe when, according to Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, very, very religious people, maybe even very famous people who did miraculous works, didn't really live for God in private. That's going to be a real shocker. See, it's easy for you and I to conclude, well, you know what? You know, Joe down the street, he says he knows God, but he doesn't live for God, and I could understand that happening. Well, listen, the scriptures tell us that in the last days, there'll be those who preach the gospel, who make great profit from it, whose God is their belly, and whose destruction is their shame. They're not real. Isn't that terrifying? Isn't it bizarre? Jesus had 12 guys. He sent them out to preach the Bible, to do miracles. And when they came back, they were all excited because they said, even the demons obey us in your name. Jesus said, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. They did miracles. Who among them did miracles and never made it to heaven? Judas. He was one of the 12. He never made it. It's my job, it's my calling in life that those who sit within the walls of this church understand that it is to love God and it's to know God, and there's to be a desire in your heart lived out, the word taking root, the passion of your life and the lifestyle. It's all in the same. It's one. That's what Jesus is saying. Secondly, under this point, who's going to be in control? There's going to be an obedience issue. There will be an issue regarding obedience about who obeys who. When we say, Lord, Lord, you know what we're saying? We are saying, I'm not in control. I'm not in control. This is hard for us as humans. We are saying, God, you rule in my life. And I want to ask you, and you need to ask me, is that true? Obedience issue. Verse 47, Jesus said, whoever, note it, number one, comes to me. Number two, hears my sayings. Number three, does them. I will show you whom he is like. Three things. When Jesus says, whoever comes to me, Jesus is inviting you to come to him now. That's an open statement. You come on. You come to me. Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't put some incredible gauntlet in front of you. He doesn't put some training course in front of you or some task. He just says, come. Secondly, he says, whoever hears. Jesus is inviting you to reason with your mind. Does this make sense? My friend, think about it. If you're a skeptic this morning, think about what all the professed religions of the world are inviting you to do, and then take a look at the invitation of Jesus Christ. Which one do you want? Which one makes sense? Jesus says, come to me. And he's challenging you to listen. Whoever hears. You can say this morning, well, I'm not a Christian, Jack, but I'm interested in this. Then ask the Lord, Lord, I want to hear from you. Pray to the Lord. Ask him. Speak to him. Expect him to answer. Before this service, we were all worshiping. And I was back there on this side of the sanctuary, and I was worshiping. I had my hands lifted up, and while we were singing, I said, Lord, touch me. Lord, fill me. Lord, anoint me today. God, possess my life. And right when I was praying that, my assistant came up and grabbed me by the arms to give me an announcement about something, and I jumped off my seat. And he said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I said, I thought you were the Lord. I mean, you guys were singing, it was beautiful, and I'm going to say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, anoint me. Lord, fill me. And he grabs me. Man, I thought I was going into glory right then and there. When we pray, oh, Lord, I want to hear. God, I want to hear you speak. Expect him to answer. Whenever you approach God in faith, he's going to be there. Faith is what pleases him. And then Jesus says, whoever does these things. Jesus said, by saying whoever does, he's inviting you to be real. Church, Calvary Chapel, Jesus Christ wants you to be real. Not some hypocrite, not some Sunday Christian. A real believer day in, day out, come rain or shine, every day of the week. Real. Every day. If you and I believe that and begin to live our lives one among another, we will be able to have grace for one another, because we will understand that if we're going to live this life, it's going to take the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the grace among us as believers. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. That's a great word. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, the Bible says, no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say a word about that. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Nobody can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. But you and I have heard people call Jesus Lord, and they live anything but a life of God. You say, hey, is that a contradiction in the Bible? Oh, no, don't get tricked here. It proves exactly what we're talking about, what Jesus is speaking about. Exactly. No one calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you read that at the surface and say, well, you know what? I called him Lord. I guess I'm okay. Eat, drink, and be merry, and party down, and party hardy, and party animal, because I said it, so I'm covered. No, Jesus' teaching applies here. You can say anything you want. Does the logos and the pathos match up with the ethos? Are you with me, everybody? This is important. What you live, what drives you, is that the word? You can say Jesus is Lord, but is it lived out? You say, well, how are we going to know? That's the whole context of this chapter. People will look at you and I and be able to discern if we're real or not. You know, when we come to Jesus, our family members will either get so excited because they've seen such a drastic change, or they won't believe a word we say about Jesus. Have you noticed that? Jesus said it, in fact, the prophet has honor everywhere he goes, except where? His own home. I was the first one in our family to get saved, to give my life to Christ. And my big sister used to pat me on the head. That's nice for you, Jack. That's nice for you. You just go do whatever you do. Oh, you're going to buy a Bible? That's so sweet. Okay, then my brother, he would argue with me. And my dad would say, you know, whatever. And my mom would say that she was religious. But by the grace of God, over time, by the witness of others, by the witness of you, this church, by the witness of my family, God has done a work, and God did a work and wound up wonderfully saving those members of my family. But listen, I gotta tell you, I look like a strapping man of faith this morning, don't I? Listen, my faith was thrashed. I remember not even praying for my sister anymore, giving up. I remember giving up praying for my dad. But you know what? It was not only the witness, though, of what God was doing in and through all of us together, because they would watch you, they would listen to you, but it was the witness of others. Regarding your family and those around you, don't give up. They're watching. Be real. But whoever calls Jesus Lord, it must be backed up by their life. Thirdly, under this point, who's going to be in control? It's going to be a reality issue. There will be a reality issue about who's going to know. Who's going to know this stuff? Verse 47 says, I will show you whom he is like. This is what the man is like. Jesus does exactly what he's been teaching us, not to condemn anybody, but to evaluate the person's life who claims to know God. Notice with me, please, that what Jesus shows us is based upon who and what the person really is. John 3:17. We all know John 3:16, but the next verse says, but God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's an important word. Listen to what Jesus is saying to us this morning. But read the fine print. In Matthew 12:37, Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, you see, and by your words you will be condemned. That goes right back to Corinthians. What you say about Jesus being Lord, the world, God, others will be able to say, I have evaluated your claim, and your words do not match with what you say. Point number two this morning is this. Do it yourself, are you sure? What are you going to build? Verse 48. Point number two, what are we going to be building? Jesus said in verse 48, he is like a man building a house. Okay, so that's what we're going to be building. Who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not be shaken, for it was founded upon the rock. Number one, a home that doesn't come easy. What are we building? Church, write this down. Hey, if somebody's asleep, wake them up right now. This is important. What are we building? What does God want us to build? Are you ready for this? God has called us Christians to build a home that is not easy. So what do we mean by that? Let me explain. To build a home that is not easy, Jesus says here that the man built a house and he dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. The word here means that he dug. He had to use picks and axes and shovels, and it took a very hard, long, difficult time. He worked very hard because he dug deep. It was digging deep through the soil into the rock, and the word means that he even invaded or sunk into the rock. One of the most amazing things I have ever seen in my life, and maybe you have too, but you didn't realize it. Have you ever been to Manhattan? Manhattan Island in New York, down, you know, Madison Avenue. Did you realize how those buildings stand up? Have you ever thought about what keeps this island from flipping over with all those tall buildings? Why doesn't it just fall into the river? Did you know that Manhattan is a big rock? It's rock. How did they ever build such tall skyscrapers? They went deep into the rock.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Do It Yourself. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage all of you to go on a journey with us. We do it every year, and that's going through the one-year Bible together. Here's the reason why. It literally, spiritually, knits us together like no other. Going through the one-year Bible will cause us to be a family in the Word of God and be knit together by the power of God's Word. And know this, that when you read one chapter of a Bible verse for the day, there's tens of thousands of people reading right along with you all around the world.
So you can pick up your copy of the one-year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.